From the Radio.com Sports Desk, here's what we know.
MLB Hot Stove Alert. Pirates trading starting pitcher Ivan Nova to the White Sox, and Andrew McCutchen has signed a three-year deal with the Phillies. Tyreek Hill returned to practice today, moving around all right. Andy Reid says he's going to play on Thursday. Spencer Ware, day-to-day. Also, Eric Berry, day-to-day. The Chargers going to likely be without Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler. I'm Nick Price. That's what we know. Now back to the show.
Back in, coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll catch up with our guy, Therese Paylor. In my opinion, he is one of the best football writers in the world and reporters. Great friend of the show, great friend of the station. We'll talk to Therese Paylor coming up in about 30 minutes or so. Our guy, Pete Sweeney from Railhead Pride, made a great point when it comes to Patrick Mahomes. We'll talk about that. And I think the Chiefs absolutely have to do this on Thursday to give themselves the advantage. We'll talk about that. And I think you guys know, every time the Chiefs play the Chargers, I got to give you my why Phillip Rivers should be in the Hall of Fame, and then you guys get mad. It's just, I like doing that. You know, we only get two times a year to do it. Oh, I got to dust off. I got to go in the crate, and I got to blow off that why Phillip Rivers is going in the Hall of Fame take. Today's pop quiz winner, presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, won $25 to Twin Peaks. Super Bad. That is Nick Price's favorite movie. I would put that in the classic category.
You think Super Bad's funny?
I think Superbad's very funny.
I do, too. I think it's hilarious. I'm surprised that you thought that was funny.
You know, Superbad's really funny.
No, it's hilarious.
I mean, I would say it's, you could argue it's the best teen comedy of this generation.
I don't know, man. I mean, maybe. I haven't sat around and tried to figure out if it's the greatest teen comedy of its generation. It's damn funny, though.
No, it's a very funny movie. So I was thinking this when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs, and I already know what you guys are going to say. I'm going to get called Buzz Killington. I'm going to be told to shut up. But you know what? Heavy is the head that wears the crown. Do you guys still consider the Chiefs offense to be elite? Because there was a time, oh my goodness, the Chiefs had everybody. We were talking about they had their Marshall Faulk, they had their Torrey Holt, they had their Tony Gonzalez. Oh my goodness, the Chiefs had everybody. Let's fast forward to Thursday's game. Kareem Hunt, gone. Sammy Watkins, gone. Spencer Ware, who knows if he's going to play or not.
I don't think he's playing.
Tyreek Hill, playing on a bum leg. Are we still considering the Chiefs' offense to be elite? Now, I want to preface this and say, I think the Chiefs' offense is still very good. I still think it's one of the five best in the NFL. But the advantage that the Chiefs had was their offense was so much better than everybody else's that it constantly put pressure on the other team. Let's not forget, just 2 days ago, this Chiefs team had 17 points, and they had 4th-and-9 against the Baltimore Ravens, and they needed a miracle to find a way to win that game. They needed Justin Houston to make an incredible play. They needed some questionable officiating. We all know how the Chiefs won on Sunday. I'm just simply asking the question, do we still consider the Chiefs' offense to be elite? Because I'm not putting that elite category right now.
I think it's really good. But let me ask you a question. So you mentioned that Sammy's probably going to be out. Spencer Ware's a maybe. Kareem's gone. Tyreek's got a bad ankle. Who's the quarterback?
Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, so they still got 15 slinging it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, then it's still a really, really good offense and a good enough offense to get you where you want to go. Now, you take Travis Kelce out of the mix, and we got to rely on Demetrius Harris, you know, then maybe we got a problem. I'll be curious to see if there is any impact at all with Kelvin Benjamin on the field on Saturday. I'll be curious to see if he can make some sort of an impact. Is it on the same level it was coming out of the gate? Absolutely not. There's no way it possibly can be. But when you got 15, you got a chance. Just like when you got Brady, you got a chance. When you got Rodgers, you got a chance. When you got some of the best quarterbacks of all time. If you've got number 15, you still have a chance to win every single game.
Text line 69306, do you forget that the game on Sunday, they were against the number one rated defense? No, that certainly factors
very
in.
Very good point.
That's why, at least for me, my answer would be is I don't know right now if they're an elite offense. I think we'll find out as the offense changes, but what I didn't like about the conversation last week is we talk about how many weapons they got. Then they lose one of the weapons. It doesn't matter. They can recover from Kareem Hunt. And I agree with you that you can recover from losing a running back. Mm-hmm. They lose a guy in Sammy Watkins. When I didn't like the Sammy Watkins signing, everybody was telling me how he drastically changes his defense and he's a decoy and all this stuff. We were arguing back and forth. Mm-hmm. Then when they don't have him, it doesn't matter. That's what I've been saying all season. Everybody was telling me that I was wrong when it came to Sammy Watkins. I just don't know if you can continue to peel these layers off and be the same offense. And I couple it with the fact of to me, their offense always had to be great enough to overcome their defensive efficiencies. That your stance is, I don't care. And I get it. Just you want to see them win. I get that. But we agree, in a game like the New England Patriots, their offense had to be all time to even give you a chance in that scenario.
Yep.
We've seen against the Los Angeles Chargers, whether it was against the Pittsburgh Steelers, like your offense is being asked to do so much in this. I don't know if we can ask the same, based on the parts that they still have, the same level of production. So that means either one of two things. Guys need to severely elevate their play on offense. I don't really know how possible that is, given the fact of Tyreek Hill is on pace to have the greatest season a wide receiver for the Chiefs have ever had. Travis Kelce is on pace to have a top three tight end season in the history of the NFL. I don't know how much more you can ask from the parts that are there. And with the defense, everybody seems resigned to the fact of they are what they are at this point.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, though. We go back to the Sammy Watkins thing. You didn't like it. I thought it was fine. I don't think they really knew what they're going to get with Chris Conley coming off a blown Achilles. You know, early, almost halfway through the season. I have to go back and double check that for sure. So I don't think they really knew what they were going to get back with Chris Conley. I think Chris Conley's been really good. I think DeMarcus Robinson's been really good. I think they got a ton of depth at wide receiver. Now, maybe neither one of those guys are a healthy Sammy Watkins, but I think they're really good. You know, and so is it on the same level as it was? There's no way it can be when Tyreek's got a bum, you know, ankle, and Kareem Hunt's no longer here. So I'm with you on that part of it, but is it good enough? And my answer to that is yes, I think it is. I think it's definitely good enough to get you where you need to go. Now, Tyreek can't go down. Kelce can't go down. Then we got problems.
I would say you have eliminated all your margin for error at this point.
Yeah.
All of it's gone.
You're getting close. You're getting close.
I would say you're there.
Really?
I mean, Spencer Ware's banged up. Tyreek Hill's banged up. Like, I would say if you lose one more part from this offense,
you
are done offensively.
Then you got a problem.
That you could afford to lose one of them. You could afford to lose Sammy Watkins. You could afford to lose Kareem Hunt. You cannot afford to lose anyone else on this offense.
No, I think the two key guys in that whole – well, three, if you count Mahomes, is obviously Kelce and Hill. If either one of those guys are out, then you got problems, man. You got big-time problems. But, again, with 15, I mean, the dude just makes plays. I mean, the texture makes a great point. It was the number one defense in the NFL for a reason. They threw a bunch of stuff at Mahomes that he hadn't seen. They made it really tough on him. I saw a stat today where 30 of his throws were under pressure. He was hit 15 times. And the second most during the week was Jared Goff, and he was pressured 10 times. Mahomes was pressured 30 times in that game, and he still managed to win the game. He still managed to make the plays when he needed to. So if you've got 15, in my opinion, you've got a chance. Now, is it going to be tougher without Tyreek? Absolutely, if you don't have those guys. But if you got 15, you got a fighting chance, in my opinion.
Two texts I want to get to, and then we'll move on from this. A CDOT, who do you think has an elite offense? Someone else says, are there any elite offenses anymore? Saints struggled, Rams struggled, Chiefs struggles against good defenses. What are you talking about? I think we should have the conversation in the NFL of have the defenses finally caught up. That at the beginning of the season, oh my goodness, the defenses were completely overwhelmed. If you look at the last month, everybody's offense has come back to the pack just a little bit. We've certainly seen the Rams' offense be exposed over the last couple of weeks. We've seen the Saints' offense be exposed over the last couple of weeks. Hell, we've seen Pittsburgh offense be exposed. The only one we haven't seen exposed so far is the Chiefs.
Yeah.
That's the only one. So the defenses, to me, either the defenses are getting better than they were at the beginning of the season, maybe they're having a better understanding of the rules, or the weather. I think we always knew that football was going to change. It ain't November, or it's not September anymore.
But I also think
it's not 80 degrees everywhere the way it was at the beginning of the football season. I think the defenses, they've got more time to adjust, and they're catching up just a little bit to the offenses in the NFL.
Well, let's not forget to factor in like injuries. And I'm not talking like broken arms. I'm talking little nicks and bruises and sprains. You know, and a twist here and a stinger there. I think that's part of it, man. Like, you take enough hits and you put your body through enough of that stuff over, what, four? You got a training camp, you got four preseason games, and now we're in week 14 of the season. I mean, you're just gonna lose some treads coming off the tire a little bit.
Agreed.
And I think that's part of it. I think defenses have caught up, but when you start to lose offensive weapons and things start to happen, nicks and bruises. I mean, I don't think we factor that in enough. It's not like defense just all of a sudden got better. I think it's part of it. There's more on tape for every single one of these offenses to see for sure. But at the same time, man, you know, a twist here, you know, falling wrong there, landed on your shoulder here. You know, a couple of guys landing on you the wrong way. And the next thing you know, you're like, man, that's five things over the last 2 weeks. And I'm just, you know, I'm a half step slower than I was. I think that's part of it,
too. I mean, guys on defenses are dealing with that. I mean, the Rams just scored 6 points. Like, imagine the offense that we saw the Chiefs go up against on Monday Night Football. Looked unstoppable, man. You had Gurley and you had Cooks and just flying everywhere. And they scored 6 points on Sunday night. Think about how high flying the Saints offense was. Man, mm-hmm. the Saints offense offense. They were trending to be sixth all time. They scored 10 points against the Dallas Cowboys. They were struggling against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like, I do think, I'm with you, injuries have happened, the wear and tear of the season. Like, I don't think we're ready to have that conversation about defenses catching up to the offenses in the NFL and the gap that existed in the beginning of the season. When we were seeing guys like Ryan Fitzpatrick throwing for 500 yards and 6 touchdown passes. Man, that's just changed. Football isn't the same that it was.
And weather plays a part in that, too.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think the Saints one, to me, was more – and I know Dallas has a really good defense. So, you know, I'm not bagging on Dallas' defense at all. But, I mean, that was, for the most part, in a controlled environment in Cowboys Stadium. I mean, you've got, what, a three-quarter roof in there? It's not cold down there? I mean, the Rams going into Chicago where it's really, really cold and playing against that defense was tough. I still maintain, watching that game last night with the Vikings and the Seahawks, where, you know, Kirk Cousins and his $84 million, you know, guaranteed almost got shut out in Seattle, and then Jared Goff and the Rams put up 10 points. You know, I can't envision a game where Mahomes ever gets shut out. I can't do it. I can't see it, at least for right now.
But I just think about it, and I ask the question. I'm getting called Buzz Killington on the text line, but that's fine.
That's fine. Yeah, whatever.
I'm just asking of, do we consider the Chiefs' offense to be elite? I just am at the point I don't know. And I think if Chiefs fans are honest with themselves, they're at the same point. Man, there was a time in the season there was no hesitation. You think the team was going to score 35 points. Do you think they scored 35 points on Thursday night? Do they score 40 points? Because Chiefs offense week two, week three, it was undeniable they were scoring 35 points in this game. That's all I mean. I'm not saying the Chiefs offense isn't good. I'm not saying that it's capable. We were talking about one of the five best offenses in the history of the NFL. I don't know if we're watching that on Thursday night.
Yeah, I don't think we will. And I think a lot of that's going to have to do with the weather, man. It's going to be cold and rainy out there. I don't think the Chiefs are going to need 35 to win that game. You got a Southern California team coming in here without their best running back, you know, facing the Chiefs team in the drizzle when it's in the 30s. So, I mean, if you think that it's going to be some L.A. Rams-Chiefs shootout on 3 days rest, I mean, that's not what we're going to see on Thursday night. And that's part of the reason why I'm a little bit scared. You throw weather in there, and you throw, potentially a sloppy field with some rain. It's supposed to rain the majority of the day on Thursday, and it's cold. I mean, I like the Chiefs' chances in this game because of that, but I think it's going to be an ugly game and not a high-scoring game.
Coming up in just a bit, we'll catch up with our guy, Terez Paylor of Yahoo Sports. But first, Pete Sweeney from Arrowhead Pride made a great point about Patrick Mahomes, and you think Mahomes has the chance to be the MVPs of the MVPs. We'll talk about it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Officially signed with your Kansas City Royals. His deal is good for 1 year, $4.25 million, with a $1 million buyout on a $7.5 million mutual option, and he gets $1 million in PBs.
I don't know what that is, and I think it's based on plate appearances. Starting at plate appearances.
Potential bonuses. I think that's what it is. And $1 million in potential bonuses based on plate appearances starting at 325 through 550. So this deal sounds very similar to what Alcides Escobar signed last year. If you remember, a little bit more money than what Alcides Escobar signed. But it was essentially the same kind of contract where if he gets this number at bats, every 50 at bats, every 75 at bats, he makes $80,000, $100,000. $1 million for every 50 plate appearances if I'm him, man. I'm doing everything I can to play.
Yeah, it's funny how that works. You know what?
I'm pushing Brett Phillips down in the shower if that's the case to make sure I'm playing.
I'd just be like, you know what, Billy, you look
tired. Jorge Soler, come here. You're always hurt.
Billy, I think you need a day off, man. You look tired. We're going to sit you down today. I think it's a good signing for the Royals. It's what you think it is, right? It helps the team. You know, they'll cover more ground on the outfield. If Phillips is, in fact, a right fielder and Billy Hamilton's going to be in center, then you've got one of the best defensive outfields in baseball. Now, the Royals' outfield is pretty darn crowded right now because you still got Jorge Bonifacio, you got Jorge Soler, you got Brett Phillips. Flanny reported yesterday that Brett Phillips and Jorge Bonifacio still have an option remaining, which means that the Royals can still send them back to the minors one more time without losing rights to them. So I'll be curious to see how this thing plays out. If anything, what this signing does on top of, like, obviously giving you a really good defensive outfielder, it promotes competition out there. Let's find out who's gonna battle it out for that right field spot. You know, I love it. You know, I love it when my team promotes competition. Let's find out if Soler wants to be a right fielder, or is he the DH, or if Bonifacio, who was suspended for what 80 games last year for PED use, is he gonna beat Brett Phillips out for it? So it's a good problem to have in the Royals outfield right now. I like this signing, and more than likely he's not gonna be around for the entire season. We know that, right?
Yeah, I mean it feels a lot like John Jay.
Yeah, I mean if Billy Hamilton has a good year, he's gonna get traded, and the Royals are gonna get prospects back because the bottom line is this: Billy Hamilton is a bridge player. A lot of these guys that they sign right now are bridge players to get into the guys, get everything to time out right when you've got all those prospects in single and double A, and then, of course, the draft class that was made up of mostly college guys last year.
So I was on Pete Sweeney's Twitter account earlier today, and he said something that I did not think about. Like, I've had the Mahomes can be on the cover of Madden thought. Like, I think it's very, very possible that he's on the cover of Madden next year. He's going to win MVP. He's 23 years old. They're trying to make him a star. Man, there's no bigger signification of I am a star than being on the cover of Madden. I think that's one of the coolest honors you can have as an NFL player. I think that's very much in play for Patrick Mahomes next year. But Pete Sweeney said this on Twitter. This just occurred to me. Patrick Mahomes should be the unanimous number one on NFL Network's top 100, right? Other than Aaron Donald, I don't know who else it could be. Like, who else could the player be? Like, if you want to have this exercise, who else do we think can be number one on NFL Network's top 100 if it's not Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Donald? I don't know who it's going to be. Khalil Mack? I don't know who
it can be. It's Khalil
Mack. Can't be Todd Gurley? I mean, there's some great players, obviously, in the NFL. I don't know who else it could be other than Aaron Donald.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think it's Mahomes or Donald. You know? And here's the other part of it, too. I saw this online today that Mahomes donated his jersey after that Monday night game in L.A., and they auctioned it off, and the money raised went to help all the families that were affected by the wildfires out there in Southern California. His jersey went for over $36,000. You know, so, I mean, he's a valuable commodity in the NFL, and he's a proven superstar. If I'm the NFL, he's the guy that's going on Madden, and to me, he is the number one guy. It's based on what you've done this year. I mean, the dude's thrown 43 touchdown passes. He's on pace to throw 52 for this season. Only one other guy in the history of the NFL has thrown for more than 50 touchdown passes. That guy's name's Peyton Manning. So, yeah, he's the dude. If we're basing it on this year and this performance alone, he's the guy. He's number one.
I'm surprised that you're looking up the stat guy. You normally are the I don't care about the stat guy.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool the fact that Mahomes is playing at that kind of all-time level.
I think it's fun. Like, I went back and I looked up, like, all the quarterbacks that were MVPs dating all the way back to 2000. There's a handful of years in there where a running back got it, whether it was Adrian Peterson or LaDainian Tomlinson. But
I mean, you basically got to have 30 touchdowns if you're a running back and win it, or you got to run for 2,000 yards. The only chance you got to win is as a running back.
I mean, right now Mahomes is on pace for 52 touchdown passes and 13 interceptions. I mean, that's ridiculous. He's on pace to throw for 5,200, almost 5,300 yards right now. And not many guys have done that. I mean, I am on record of saying, like, I don't care if he wins the MVP. I want to win the Super Bowl or go to the Super Bowl. Give me an AFC title game in Kansas City because I've never seen that at Arrowhead before, and I'm good. Like, I'm fine with that. I don't need him to win the MVP. But the numbers that he's putting up are just ridiculous. I mean, the guy's averaging 3 touchdown passes per game. You know, he's at 52, and he's still got 3 games to go in the season. You know, not to mention whatever he does in the postseason. So the numbers he's putting up are just sick. I mean, you're talking about, you know, guys named, you know, Tom Brady, Cam Newton, Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, you know, Steve McNair was a co-MVP 1 year. Rich Gannon's in there, Kurt Warner, and the greatest show on turf. Mahomes blown these guys away. Only one guy's had more touchdown passes, and that was Peyton Manning back in 2013. So, yeah, maybe it did kind of sink in a little bit of what actually he's doing from a statistical standpoint. But I still stand by. Like, I'd rather not have my guy win MVP and take his team deep into the playoffs. But what he's doing is ridiculous, man. And if he can keep this up with no Sammy Watkins, with no Kareem Hunt, and a banged up Tyreek Hill, and if he can stay on pace for 52, hell, there's a chance he didn't even play against the Raiders. You know, in that final game of the season, if they beat the Chargers on Thursday and then beat the Seahawks on Sunday Night Football out in Seattle. But, yeah, what he's doing is ridiculous. I mean, to me, there's a chance he's the MVP of the MVPs. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
I know we're up against the break, Nick, and we'll catch up with our guy, Therese Paler from Yahoo Sports, coming up in just a bit. Why I think it matters is I think there is a difference between being your star and a star.
Yeah.
Like, Salvador Perez was a Kansas City star, was not a national star.
Yeah.
Eric Hosmer was your star. Mike Moustakas is your star, and that's perfectly fine. Man, Patrick Mahomes has a chance to be a star, and he has a chance to grow into the star in the NFL. Man, Brady's not going to be around forever. Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be around forever. Like, you have a chance to have the most popular player and the best player in the NFL during his prime. Man, that's a rare thing to have in the NFL. And like I said yesterday, man, more times than not, if those two things match, you eventually win a Super Bowl. That it's not a matter of if you break through.
Yeah.
It's more of a matter of when. Coming up in just a bit, we'll catch up with Therese Paler of Yahoo Sports. We'll talk to him about the upcoming matchup, Chiefs and Chargers, and Mahomes' chance to win MVP. Therese Paler coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
back in on the drive coming up in just a bit. We will catch up with our guy, Therese Paler. But first, we've got to tell you about where we are today.
Yeah, we're down at the Community Blood Center at 4040 Main in Midtown. Come on down and see us. It's the 21st annual Chiefs Blood Drive today. We're here till 6 o'clock. The goal is to get 300 donations. Right now we're sitting at 150, so we got to step our game up a little bit. So come on down. Plenty of time to get in there. Give blood. The goal, again, is 300 donations today. You got to help us break the record and prevent that winter shortage that comes around every year. You can have fun while you're making a life-saving difference in the lives of a patient and those who love them. So come out today and join us. Again, we're down at the Community Blood Center. It's at 4040 Main Street in Midtown. All donors are going to receive a special Chiefs design t-shirt, and they'll be entered into a raffle for Chiefs memorabilia, including a Patrick Mahomes jersey. Plus, you can hang out with me and C-Dot. So come on down. They got Nutter Butters back there. They got some Sprites. They got some chips back there, too, so they get all that stuff, too, and you get to help somebody.
Earlier today, you and I had the chance to catch up with Therese Paler. Our conversation started with Therese of Yahoo Sports. We actually read him one of his tweets and how it related to Sunday's win over the Baltimore Ravens. I want to read you one of your own tweets because it actually led our show yesterday. From you.
Did it really?
Yeah, it did. I'm going to go ahead and say that Pat made the difference in preventing the annual out-of-nowhere December loss that has been a Kansas City tradition since 2013. Therese, you covered the Chiefs and Missouri. You know that Missouri loss. You know that Chiefs loss. You have seen it up close and personal and know it as well as anybody. Pat saved the Chiefs from being the Chiefs on Sunday.
And you know what? That's what led me to basically call Patrick Mahomes. No, not even basically. To just outright call him John Wick. He's John Wick. He's the football equivalent of John Wick. Patrick Mahomes' ability to prevent this loss, which has been a curse, he was like the curse lifter. And that kind of made me think, oh, wait a minute. He's Baba Yaga. He's the boogeyman to the boogeyman. He is. Like, when it comes to Kansas City football pass, like, you can't have – I lived here 12 years, man. Like, I know Chiefs fans. Like, you guys know I grew up in Detroit. Like, my team's the Lions or whatever. But I lived here 12 years. It's hard for that not to kind of rub off when all of my readers are Chiefs fans. And, like, I know how, like, cursed you feel this team is and, like, how you've seen the same thing happen over and over and over again. But I just felt like, wow, this guy's kind of prevented that from happening this one time. And look, there's still three games left, right? Obviously, this game against the Chargers is a tough game, and then Seattle will be tough too. And look, anything can happen. So, like, maybe I jumped the gun a little bit, but to me, it feels like it's, you know, predestined that this guy is Baba Yaga. And even if they lose a game here, you know, it seems unlikely they'll lose two of the next three, even though I guess anything can happen. I just think, you know, no matter what, a guy with this arm, as long as he's healthy, he removes the foreboding sense of doom you have. So, like, even if it still goes poorly and you lose two or three or whatever, it'll be different because you won't just, like, know that it happened. You'll still believe that this guy's arm's enough to prevent the bad stuff from happening.
Did he lock up the MVP on Sunday, Therese?
I think so. I mean, but I will say, like, a month ago, you know, people were saying it was Drew Brees, and some people thought he had it locked up. But I do think so. Like, his numbers are going to be ridiculous. You know, barring a complete collapse down the stretch, he'll finish with around 50 touchdowns. You know, he's basically having Dan Marino's rookie season, which was insane in 1983. Like, he's having that season, dude. And, you know, Marino won the MVP that year by being ridiculous. And it feels like Pat deserves that too, Patrick. You know, I think that we've all seen this offense the previous 5 years. It was good. It was a good offense, but everything was schemed up. Now I think we fully recognize how good Andy Reid is, because he had a quarterback that fully can take advantage of the stuff he schemed up and then hurt defenses even when the schemed up stuff isn't there too.
We're talking to Therese Paler, senior NFL writer for Yahoo Sports. Therese, I'm dying to know the answer to this question. Where do you sit on the no-look pass?
You know, I'm really surprised that this is, like, a thing. Like, please tell me you guys are, like, not against the no-look pass.
I'm not. No, as long as it works, man, I'm in. You know what I mean? I'm in.
I mean, exactly. It's not like he's doing this, like, recklessly. Like, and look, he's going to throw an interception doing it at some point, and then there'll be, like, a lot of hot takes. But, you know, to me, like, it's just fun. Like, it's fun. He's got some flair. And I certainly wouldn't try to, like, take it away from him. You know what I'm saying? It is unbelievable to me that anybody could just say, Yeah, he needs to knock it off with that. Like, really? This is a fun football thing, and he's good at it. It's like a natural treat. Why would you try to take it away? I thought the best tweet about it was from Tom Martin, KCTV5, when he said, "I love Magic Johnson in his game, but throwing no-look passes will not pay off in the long run, despite all the drooling over it by the media." Tom was being unbelievably sarcastic.
Sure.
Because, like, a national media guy, like, basically said that. And it's just like, you know what? This is fun. Like, I can't believe really, it's fun. It's a fun thing. Can we enjoy football? Can we enjoy this rare player with a special trait? Without trying to sap the fun out of it. I just don't get it. I just don't get it.
I don't get it either, Therese. I am called Buzz Killington on the show, so I'll be the one to bring up the negative topics about the Chiefs. I don't know if I can still consider this offense to be elite, given what they've lost over the last 14 days. They are certainly still good. They're certainly still one of the better offenses in the NFL, but I felt like the Chiefs could just beat you over the head with, we have more weapons and toys to play with than every other team in the NFL. No Kareem Hunt in this game. No Sammy Watkins likely in this game. Tyreek Hill is banged up. I don't know if I can look at this offense as being elite heading into their biggest matchup so far this season.
They don't have – they're not. I mean, so I'm just going to back you up. I mean, they're not. It's still really good, though. You still have Andy Reid calling plays. Let's also remember that Andy Reid went 9-7 with, like, the world's worst receiving core in 2014. Like, can we
– Yeah, how do you go 9-7 and not have a wide receiver catch a touchdown pass? I'm still baffled by that.
That might have been his best coaching job, dude. Like, let's go back. We look at that offense. Like, it's Dwayne Bowe. And it was like Madden regression Dwayne Bowe, right? It was Donnie Avery, who was hurt most of the year. It was Albert Wilson. You know, Albert Wilson, before he knew what he was doing. This was a bad receiving group, dude. Like, I think, wasn't that the year they brought in Jason Avant to save them?
I don't know, man. I know Frankie Hammond and Junior Hemingway were in that mix.
They went 9-7.
Yeah.
So, Andy is going to be fine with Travis Kelce. By the way, that was before Kelce was Kelce. So Andy's going to be fine with, you know, arguably the league's best quarterback and a hamper Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, right? And he'll be fine. They're going to put up points. But to be elite, you know, to earn the greatest show on turf mentions that we talked about, 98 Vikings, all that, like, Greenville was a big part of that, man. And that's like taking Robert Smith off the 98 Vikings. It's like taking Marshall Faulk off the 99 Rams. You know, it's like taking Emmitt Smith off the 92 Cowboys. I'm sorry. It just is. It's something that I think they can fix this offseason pretty easily by investing a top 100 pick in a running back. But, yeah, I mean, call you Buzz Killington. You know, they're still really good. But if you guys are hurt and you take Hunt out of the equation, it's not as lethal as it was. And that's just the truth.
Therese, I'll also be Buzz Killington when it comes to the defense. I've heard everybody tell me how this defense is improving, how they're getting pressure on the quarterback, and some of the points I agree with when it comes to the defense. I've also heard that this defense is a lot better at home than they've been on the road. It also coincides with all the good quarterbacks they've played so far this season. They've played them on the road. They haven't played any of them at home. I'm looking at this game as a show me that you're better game for the defense. I keep hearing about improvement. If you can hold this Chargers team to 17 points on Thursday Night Football, I'm willing to rehab the conversation when it comes to this defense. If the Chargers move the ball as banged up as they are against this Chiefs team, this team has way more serious problems defensively than I think people want to admit.
I mean, they can rush the passer. I'll give them that. But they give up a lot of yards. This team gives up a lot of yards. And, you know, in the playoffs, you got to turn the football over. Like, I mean, that's how you're going to be able to win. But you also can't just be giving up yards like that, just kind of at, you know, at will. You know, so yeah. I mean, look, the defense is a problem. It's going to be a problem. The good thing, at least, it's not like a toothless defense as it relates to the pass rush, right? Like, at least, hey, at least you got to worry about 55. You got to worry about 95. You got to worry about 50 to a lesser extent. I felt a lot better about it when I felt like the Chiefs had the best support cast since the 99 Rams but you know, on offense. But, you know, I'm not really going to – I mean, we've seen this quarterback make so many ridiculous throws. I mean, he makes people better. And that has a chance to help in the playoffs. But, yeah, they'll be facing tougher teams. And the defense absolutely has to step up to give these guys a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
All right, Trez, I'll play the role of random Chiefs fan that you run into in public. So this is going to happen this week. It probably already happened a couple of times. Tell me when Eric Berry's going to play, and is he going to play this week?
I don't know if he's going to play this week. I know people, you know, they want to – I think there's reason to be optimistic about it. I think they've been building toward this. Like, if you would have asked me, like, a week ago, I would have said, yeah. I guess I'd still say sure, but I just don't know, and I'll be honest about that. You know, we know this thing is going on the right track. We also know that they're being careful with him, you know, because it's just an injury that hurts. And probably is going to slowly get worse probably as he keeps playing just because it's a pain tolerance thing. So, you know, if he doesn't play this week, you know, just know that they're trying to make sure he's ready for January when it fully matters.
And that's our guy from Yahoo Sports, Therese Paylor. He is one of the best football writers and reporters in the world. Therese, always good catching up with you, my man.
Hey, thanks, guys. Take care of you.
Always good to talk to our guy, Therese Paylor. That was our conversation with one of the best football reporters in the world. Coming up in just a bit, one thing I absolutely hope happens on Thursday, and I've been waiting to do this all week, why Phillip Rivers is a surefire bet for the NFL Hall of Fame. Oh, I love talking about this.
You love Phyllis.
Coming up next is The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on The Drive, if you have told us that our mics were on during the commercial break, you were the 970th person. There's nothing the text line loves more than when we get something wrong or when the mics are on during the break. Normally, it's my fault. Now, I don't want to throw my man Nick the Quick under the bus, but we're on
Come
remote.
On, Nick.
It's a
we're
work
at
in
remote
progress.
Here at, we're on remote at the Community Blood Center. I don't have the ability to turn the mic off. You know who does? Nick the Quick. This is his plan to take over.
Is that what
Nick
it is?
Nick wanted us to talk during the commercial break so we could get fired and then he could take over. That was the plan.
I wouldn't
Nick,
wish
how
that
could
on
you
guys.
Us like this, bro?
I wouldn't wish
I can't
that on
tell.
You guys.
I can't tell that you wouldn't do
oh
us this
goodness,
way. No,
man.
I can't believe you would do us this
it's gonna
way.
It's going to be smooth sailing.
So coming up in just a bit, we'll talk about what the Chiefs need to do on Thursday. But every year, there's some takes that, like, really warm my heart, you know?
Mm.
Like, one take that warms my heart is how unbelievable Home Alone is, you know? Like, literally in Home Alone, the woman called the police to say that a crime had been committed, and the police didn't want to believe her. Like, you know, like, the movie just impossible to, like, yeah. really like, you know? Because there's a lot of plot holes in the yeah. in the movie. One take I love to dust off is Phillip Rivers should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame because I know it pisses the text line off. Phillip Rivers is going in the Hall of Fame, you guys. You can try to fight it. You can deny it. But I'm here to tell you that Phillip Rivers is going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Case one. Passing yards. They matter, right?
They do, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Passing yards are very important, correct?
That's correct.
The only quarterbacks in the history of the NFL with more passing yards than Phillip Rivers are Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, Tom Brady, Dan Marino, Ben Roethlisberger, and Eli Manning.
How does Eli Manning
All of those guys are going to the Hall of Fame, right?
Eli Manning's going to the Hall of Fame?
Absolutely, he's going in the Hall of Fame. Two Super Bowls and played in New York.
Okay.
Eli Manning is absolutely going in the Hall of Fame.
You think he deserves it?
Yeah, I think so.
Just for having two rings?
Then 9 is John Elway, and 10 is Warren Moon. All of those guys are in the Hall of Fame, unless they're active players. Passing yards, they matter. Let's go on to passer rating. Now, I understand that passer rating is being watered down. I'm not here to argue that.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know the only quarterbacks in the history of the NFL to have a better passer rating than Phillip Rivers in his NFL career?
Who?
Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Brett Favre, Dan Marino. All of those guys are undeniable first ballot Hall of Famers. Passer rating matters. You want to go down to touchdown passes? The same list are the only people that have more touchdown passes than one Phillip Rivers. So if you're top 10 all-time in passing yards, you're top 10 all-time in quarterback rating, and you're top 10 all-time in passing touchdowns, you know what that means?
What's that mean?
You were an all-time quarterback. You know where all-time quarterbacks go?
Canton?
The Pro Football Hall of Fame. Stop trying to fight it. Phillip Rivers and his 17 kids – well, eventually,
I think he's only got 9.
Be in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. No, she's pregnant again. He's having another baby.
Okay, so that'll be 10.
Yeah, he's having another baby.
He's putting up Hall of Fame numbers for, you know, when it comes to kids too.
I mean,
that's a big stat, don't you think?
I'm just telling
you guys. He can field his own football team.
Absolutely. I'm just telling you guys the stats. I understand you guys don't like Phillip Rivers. I understand you guys want to poke holes in the numbers, but I'm here to telling you that he's going in the Hall of Fame
like,
one day.
Like, what are the guys that are ahead of him? Give me those names again.
Which one?
for touchdown passes.
For touchdown passes, the only people that have thrown more touchdown passes than Phillip Rivers in his NFL career are Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Brett Favre, Dan Marino. That's it.
He didn't win one.
Yeah, Dan Marino.
He went to one. He didn't win one. Rivers has never gone to one. That's the only thing that's off his resume. That's really it. Wouldn't you agree? Like, that's the only thing that he didn't have on his resume.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That's it.
And he's 37 years old. I think he should be in the Hall of Fame, too. I'm on your side on this. Statistically, and you got to look too. I mean, you have to go back and look, because I think if you just see what Phillip Rivers done over the course of his career, like, man, the Chargers had some sorry records. I mean, look at some of the stuff that they did. I mean, he was got off to a great start, 14-2, then he was 11-5. Last time they won double digits before this year was way back in 2009. I think he's sort of an afterthought to a lot of people in the NFL because of the bunch of 7-9s and 9-7s, and he got a 4-12 mixed in there. But statistically, he belongs. There's no denying the fact that he belongs in the Hall of Fame.
I want to read this text really quickly. Text line 69306. C-Dot loves Rivers. I bet he has a framed photo of him on the nightstand.
Do you?
No, I don't. Oh. You know what I do love? Sometimes I like people that you guys don't like. Because sometimes I feel like I got to be the balance of that guy's really good. Like, that's kind of how I feel about Scott Drew. I'm not the biggest Scott Drew fan in the world, but you guys talk so bad about Scott Drew, I got to prove to you guys that Scott Drew can coach, you know? I feel the same way about Phillip Rivers. I'm not a big Phillip Rivers fan. I think he's a powder. I agree with you guys that they've never won anything. I watch the same NFL games that you watch. Whenever I'm watching January football, I don't see Phillip Rivers playing a whole lot during that time. So no. I don't
disagree
with you.
That's because he's never playing in January.
I don't disagree with you guys. I'm simply here as a messenger to give you guys the numbers. That's all I'm doing here. I'm just a messenger to give you the numbers.
You know, I actually like Phillip Rivers. I think he's a hard guy not to like right now. I get it. Like, earlier in your career, when he was a smack talker, he'd yell at some fans. When he was walking off the field, he'd jaw and get a little bit fired up. But now he's almost – as a veteran, he's very complimentary to the guys that he goes up against. He's super competitive, really good at what he does. He's got a weird throwing motion, but it's really effective. I like him. And before we got Mahomes, I would have taken Phillip Rivers over Alex Smith. I think if he was our guy in Kansas City before Mahomes, you would have loved him. I mean, if you had Phillip Rivers in Kansas City since 2004 when he went out to San Diego,
I think Kansas City would hate Phillip Rivers. Actually,
are you serious? Quarterback. I don't think so.
I feel like he'd be Marty Schottenheimer, the quarterback.
Because he would throw a bunch of picks and you wouldn't win.
And they wouldn't win anything.
Yeah, well, maybe you're right. I like him. I like him, though. I've got no problem with Phillip Rivers. I love the way he plays the game.
I'm here to defend those that can't defend themselves. That's how I look at myself.
You're like
I look
a superhero.
I look at myself as a messenger.
You're a superhero. You're going to protect the people that need to protect it.
I know that yesterday we were talking about the Arrowhead Mystique, and you don't believe in the Arrowhead Mystique.
I think it's on its way back, but you got to win in January before you have Mystique.
You know when I think you have that Mystique?
When?
Night game, Thursday.
And I'm not going to argue with that.
And you know what's going to happen?
It's going to rain.
They're not introducing the offense first. They're introducing the defense. And they're going to go through D4, and he's going to get a nice applause. They're going to go through Breland Speaks, and they're going to go through 10 guys. And then you know what they're going to say
what
last.
What about Orlando Scandrick?
They're going to announce him, and he's going to get a nice little clap. He plays for the Chiefs.
Got it.
And then the last name is going to be number 29 from Tennessee. And the place is going to go absolutely crazy. That's worth 3 points right there. That's worth 3 points that moment right there. The energy, the hype. You know Barry's going to be in the middle.
I thought he was day-to-day, though. I mean, hasn't he been day-to-day since August 11th?
Aren't we all day-to-day?
Yeah, I know, but I mean, they've been saying day-to-day forever. I want Andy to come out. I want him to come out and say, listen, he's a go. He's ready to roll. We're going to keep him limited in practice. He's going to go out there and he's going to give us some snaps on Thursday night. I'm waiting to hear that, C-Dot.
Even if Eric Berry can only be on the field for one snap, I think they owe it to you, the Chief fan, to introduce him.
Is he coming out on crutches when he comes out and the flames go up?
I can't believe you're acting this way towards EP.
I'm not going to believe it until I see it, man. I love the man. I love 29.
You've been telling me for 7 weeks he was playing in this week. Now that it's here, you don't think he's playing.
I don't know. Andy Reid's doing the same song and dance he's been doing for the last 150 days.
I don't know how.
Well, he's day to day.
I don't know how I always get called the negative one on the show. I'm not that worried about the Chargers. I think Barry's playing. I'm telling you, the text line's biased. That's what they are. The text line is biased.
I thought we would get to the point on, what are we, Tuesday before a Thursday game. I thought this week, hey, man, EB's ready to roll, man. We've kept him out. We've been wanting him to be ready, and this is the game that we targeted, so he's ready to go out there and perform. yeah, at least day to day, he really loves football. He wants to be out. It's the same thing we heard. I thought it would be more definitive when it came to Eric Berry, and it's just not right now, and that's why I don't have a good vibe on it.
I think Eric Berry's playing, but we'll hear from Bob Sutton coming up in just a bit what he has to say about the Chiefs' safety and his potential of playing on Thursday night. But first, a lot of you are asking what the Chargers games mean. I think you can make an argument that this game is a must-win for a completely different reason than many of you think. We'll talk about it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.